Hey everyone, welcome to episode 33 of Sits and Giggles. I'm your host Casey, and I am joined by Krista, who is joining us live from a Star Wars universe. Okay, she's not literally in the Star Wars universe right now, but she did spend a whole day at Black Spire Outpost, mingling with all the Star Wars people, and just looked like she was having the time of her life. And we're gonna talk about that a little later, but first we're gonna continue our Skywalker Saga series. We are now up to A New Hope, and the question that we are going to tackle today is, what if Luke had joined the Imperial Academy? So this is something that, you know, we see, you know, soon after we first meet Luke and Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru in A New Hope, you know, Luke desperately wants to get off Tatooine, and the best way for a young Tatooine farm boy to do that is by joining the Imperial Academy, which Uncle Owen is dead set against doing. So the question, what if Luke had joined the Imperial Academy? I have my thoughts on this. Krista, I'm sure you do too, so I'll let you start. What do you think happens?
So this one was a little bit harder to kind of think about, in the sense because very quickly it changes almost the entire landscape of Star Wars as we know it. And I feel like one of the things I read online when I was doing some research for this, actually from a Reddit thread, where they asked the question, what if Luke had gone and joined the Imperial Academy and never joins the Rebel Alliance? And the question, like, it brings it and it points out is like, okay, so what we know about who Luke is as a person, it references the fact that, yes, we know right away he is going to be extremely force sensitive. He has prior experience on flying, so chances are between, you know, being force sensitive and his ability as a pilot, he's probably going to skyrocket really quickly up the ranks in the Imperial Academy. So that's not unexpected. I think what isn't expected, as they kind of pointed out, is Luke probably is still going to be really hesitant on killing people. Just based on what we've seen from his character and, you know, who he is, and I can't really see that changing regardless if he joined the Imperial Academy or the Resistance, is he always seems like someone who's not going to want to just go out and kill people. So I think that would play a role, but ultimately I think if he went and joined the Imperial Academy, I think the one thing we will see is I think he would find out very quickly, or rather, I think Palpatine would find out really quickly that he is Vader's child. And I could see Palpatine using that to his advantage and manipulating Vader with it. Casey?
I'm assuming that they're going to find that out very quickly. And, like, in my headcanon, the reason Uncle Owen doesn't want Luke to join the Imperial Academy is he probably knows that, like, as soon as, like, the name Skywalker goes into, like, some Imperial database at the Academy, that, like, Palpatine and Vader are gonna find out about him. Like, that name has got to be flagged from here to, like, next Sunday.
Like, oh, for sure.
Yeah, like, a Skywalker can't just, like, join the Empire, I'm sure. And I'm sure that's why, you know, Uncle Owen is hesitant to ever let him leave, because he can't say, like, hey, you know, you can't go because your dad's Darth Vader, and as soon as you join, you know, they're gonna kill you. But
I guess this is a dumb question, and I could just, it's been a while since I've watched the film, so I might have missed this, but does Owen know specifically that Anakin became Darth Vader, or is he under the assumption that he just died?
I don't think he ever knew that Vader was Anakin. I think he thinks that.
I didn't think so either.
Yeah, as far as we know, like, and this could completely change when the Kenobi series comes out next year. But as far as we know, Uncle Owen he thinks that Obi-Wan killed Anakin, and that's why, like, in the comics, and like the new Star Wars comics, like, he doesn't let Obi-Wan within like 10 feet of Luke. Like Obi-Wan like leaves toys for Luke on like their doorstep, and like Uncle Owen doesn't let him have the toys. He doesn't want Obi-Wan to train him. Like that was the deal. Like when he brought,
yeah,
when he brought baby Luke to Tatooine, Owen was like, yeah, I'll take him, but you're going to have nothing to do with him at all. Like you're just, you're not going to be in his life. So like, I don't even know how Owen would have the opportunity to know that Anakin became Vader, because like he wasn't going to listen to Obi-Wan if Obi-Wan told him. And we don't know when Obi-Wan finds out about Anakin still being alive. So like, I'm assuming, yeah, there's, I don't think that Owen and Beru know the truth.
I really hope, and this is kind of a little off topic, I really hope if with this Obi-Wan series that we're getting, that we have some type of scene where you, where Obi-Wan either, you know, comes to the realization or learns that Vader is Anakin.
I would absolutely love that.
I would love to see that. The internal conflict alone that Obi-Wan would feel is incredible. Like, would be incredible to see played out on the screen.
That is, like, the type of thing that I'm sure would make me cry if I had to watch, like, Obi-Wan come to the realization that, like, Anakin is still alive.
I mean, because right now, like, as far as he knows, when he flees and goes to Tatooine and goes into hiding and all that stuff, he's under the assumption that he killed his brother.
Yeah.
And the guilt alone for that, and then to have that moment where, you know, you find out you lived all this time thinking you killed the one person who arguably was the closest to you, that you cared so much about, that you were the reason that he died. You killed him. And then to find out that, no, you didn't kill him, but now he's some souped up robot man who
it's more machine now than man.
Yeah, like terrorizing the entire galaxy and is the Emperor's right-hand man, and like who's done all of these atrocities since you thought you killed him. Like the amount of, I imagine he would have a conflicting feeling of, you know, being, I could see Obi-Wan being grateful that, you know, he ultimately did not kill Anakin, but I think he would also ultimately feel that guilt would then shift to him feeling guilty for everything that's transpired after that. I feel like he would take that upon himself. Like, if I was successfully killed him, this wouldn't have happened. I could have maybe stopped it.
Right. And I think that, but at the same time, I think that that would probably kind of be his confirmation that Anakin is lost to the dark side forever, because I'm sure he's tried to like reach out through the Force to sense Anakin and was not able to, because Ahsoka did the same thing. Like Ahsoka, you know, when she was in hiding, she reached out to the Force and she tried to find Anakin, and she couldn't sense him either, because Anakin, for all intents and purposes, is gone. He's lost to the Force. So like they can't sense him at all. And I'm sure that Obi-Wan tried to do that. And the fact that A, he can't sense Anakin, and B, Anakin is very much alive, I think that that's going to confirm to him that Anakin is lost to the dark side and he needs to be destroyed. Which is, you know, why he doesn't tell, you know, he doesn't tell Luke the truth about his father, because he doesn't want, well, he wanted to tell Luke right away. Yoda told him he couldn't do it. Yoda told him that it would cause too much conflict within the boy and they'd probably lose him right away. Which brings me to, like, my next thing in this what-if scenario. If Luke were to leave and join the Imperial Academy, I think Obi-Wan would probably, like, flip out.
I think Obi-Wan would make himself known lot sooner. I don't think we'd get to the point. I don't think we would, you know, wait until after the beginning of A New Hope. I think Obi-Wan would have revealed himself both to Luke and to Vader a lot sooner.
He would that, or he would probably, like, either go to Dagobah to find Yoda, or he would go to, like, Alderaan to find Bail Organa and just be like, look, we got the problem. Like,
or if realizing at this point, you know, that say Luke joins the Imperial Academy, very quickly learns that Vader is his father, very quickly becomes, you know, trained by Palpatine and Vader and the ways of the Force, and specifically the dark side. If Obi-Wan, like you said, instead of going to, like, Alderaan to find Bail Organa, he goes to Alderaan to get Leia. That jumpstarts. So switch out Luke, and it becomes Leia going forward.
And we know from Yoda's story in a certain point of view that Leia is the one he wanted to train. He did not want to train Luke.
Well, duh.
And it was like whenever, like, after Obi-Wan died, you know, the first thing he does as a Force Ghost, well, one of the first things he does as a Force Ghost is he goes to Dagobah to meet Yoda, and he's like, all right, everything's been set in the motion. You get to train young Skywalker now. And Yoda's like, oh, I'm excited. I've been looking forward to training her for years. And he's like, no, not her, the boy. And Yoda's like, no, the girl. I want to train the girl.
And I think this is terrible to say, but, like, I don't blame Yoda for that.
I don't blame him at all either. If I knew Anakin and I knew Padme, I'd want to train Leia Toon. Luke.
Have one who's a petulant, whiny child, just like his father was, and then another one who is a sophisticated, mature, and smart person like her mother, capable of making rash decisions versus young, but I wanted to go to Taki Station with my friends. Who would you want to train?
Right. No, I totally get that. I didn't even think about how Luke joining the Imperial Academy would affect Leia's story. Yeah, I can definitely see, like, Obi-Wan going to Alderaan to get Leia, and then, like, she ends up being the New Hope, and this is what...
That would be
that's
true.
That's what the story is, yeah.
Would be her to go and, like, okay, so say she, you know, gets trained, and she goes and she encounters Luke, who, in her side, is literally her twin, who's on the dark side, and then you have her who's on the light side. That would literally be, like, the balance of the Force right then and there.
That would be, like...
One light side and one dark side.
They can take down the Emperor and be, like, the new Mortis. Like, you can literally have, like, the daughter, the son, and then, like, the father keeping the balance between the two of them. Like...
Because think about it. Did you read that article I sent you before we recorded?
I did. Yeah, I did.
It kind of touches upon how Vader would be, like, the father, so to speak, from Mortis, because he's been to the extreme of both sides.
Yeah.
So he brings himself to a balance, and you would have the son and the daughter, one representing light, one representing the dark.
So in that article, if you don't know, okay, so, like, Krista sent me an article right before we started recording. This is a fan theory. Like, don't take this as a Rise of Skywalker spoiler, unless it, like, accidentally comes true. But, like, in this article, like, a fan theory is that, like, for the end, like, Anakin's Force Ghost has just been hanging out on Mortis this whole time. And, like, Rey and Kylo go to Mortis to meet Anakin, and, like, gives them the secret to, like, defeating Palpatine. And then, like, the saga will end, like, with them staying on Mortis. Now, in this scenario, does Rey turn to the dark... Were they kind of, like, implying that Rey would turn to the dark side and become, like, the dark sibling, and, like, Kylo would turn, like, to the light and become the light? Because that's...
See, that I was a little confused about as well.
I don't want a Ben Demption just so I can get, like, Rey's fall.
I guess the way I kind of took it as is, you know, we've already seen Rey be able to tap into the dark side of the Force. And we know that Ben has this perpetual pull to the light side. And Anakin has bridged basically the gap between the two. He's done light side and he's done dark side in entirety for both. And so I took it as a sense that he's now reached this, like, middle point where he's able to use both aspects of the Force, the dark side, you know, that the Jedi were so vehemently against utilizing, and the light side. So I think he, at this point, has found a way to balance having both of those in him, so to speak. And I think with Rey and Ben, I don't think we see Rey fall necessarily to the dark side. I think we see her embrace it a little bit more and allow herself to, like, use the dark side of the Force. And I think we see Ben not repress the light side.
Right.
Which I think she had to have balance within them.
I honestly question, like, where she used the dark side of the Force in the saga so far.
The best argument that can be made is in the scene in The Force Awakens where he's telling her to, like, use her anger. And we see her get visibly mad. And then, you know, she basically overtakes Kylo Ren.
Right. See, I think that, that's, like,
the only argument that you could be used, in my opinion, where she uses the dark side of the Force, but I don't buy it necessarily.
I don't buy it either. I think a lot of people see a scene like that and they see someone, like, get aggressive during a lightsaber fight and they're like, oh, well, they're tapping into the dark side, when it's like, really, she's just being aggressive in a fight. Now, if you want to say, like, Luke skirted, like, to the dark side when he was fighting Vader on the second Death Star, like, if you want to say, like, Luke kind of, like, skirted the dark side when he defeated Vader in that duel, like, I can buy that. But, like, I don't think that, like, whenever I watch The Force Awakens, when I watch that battle, I kind of saw it as, like, Rey being overtaken by the light side of the Force. Like, I never saw it as her, like, going dark. And if you want to talk about her, like, not fearing the dark, then really what you should talk about is the cave scene in The Last Jedi. Because, like, she knows that's a dark place. Luke told her it's a dark place. She went there, like, when she was, like, meditating with Luke, and then, like, she went there again on her own and jumped into the cave and tried to, like, get it to, like, give her the answer to her question. So, like, there, like, that's the one place where, like, it's her. But, like, I don't even take that as her using the dark side. I just don't feel like she fears the dark side. Like, I look at her life as a scavenger, and I think about how she's just the type of person who's used to going into dark places to find, like, useful things. Like, that's how I took it. I don't think that, like, she's in any danger of falling to the light. I think she's too good for that.
You mean falling to the light?
Yeah, I don't see her falling to the dark. I think she's too good for that.
I agree with that. I don't think she would ever... I don't think she could ever 100% fully be strictly a light side Force user, because as much as it sucks, we really don't ever see the Jedi use, like, channel their emotions and stuff into their actions. They seem to perpetually be very withdrawn and, like, emotionless when approaching battles, so to speak. I think in her aspect, we saw it with Luke, we've seen it with Anakin, is where she basically uses her emotion and how she's feeling to give her more power, to fuel her, so to speak.
Right, and I think that
makes you a dark side user.
I don't think it does. I think, if anything, that just more or less, like, disproves the Jedi, like, philosophy that you can't tap into emotion. Much the same way that, like, in Return of the Jedi, Luke disproved their, like, belief that attachment leads to the dark side, because it was Luke's attachment to his father that ultimately saved him and brought him back to the light.
Yes.
So, like, I think that, like, if anything, Rey will just show that, like, emotion is not, like, an enemy of the light side. As long as, like, you're in control of your emotions and you don't, like... Like, you don't have to be... Like, you don't have to be this, like, bland, like, warrior monk to be a good, like, light side Force user. I think that you just have to, like, be able to control your emotions and not give in to, like, you know, yeah, you still can't give in to fear, you can't give in to temptation, you certainly can't give in to, like, anger and hate, but, like, there's nothing wrong with, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, emotion, with attachment. Like, I think that, like, Luke and Rey have disproven that.
I think largely it has to do with, like, you can channel that raw, natural emotion. But I think with the Jedi that we kind of see is they don't allow... Like, I think with the Jedi, because you can clearly see it sometimes, now that I think about it, like, Yoda's battle with the Emperor. and with Count Dooku. And then you have Mace Windu when he's battling the Emperor. You can very clearly see they have some sort of emotion, but they're able to control it. They're not giving into it and allowing it to flow freely, you know, unchecked.
Right.
Which we've seen with Vader and other dark side force users.
Right. Well, you can say that, like, with Mace Windu and the other Jedi, but, like, especially Mace Windu in that scene, he gave in to, like, his fear of the Sith. And
yep.
That led to the dark side. Like, the dark side, the Sith, like, made their ultimate return because Mace Windu gave in to his fear. So
he couldn't control his emotions.
Right. But, like, bringing this back to our A New Hope discussion, I think that, like, if Obi-Wan goes and ends up, if Yoda and Obi-Wan end up training Leia, I can see her as being like the original, like the Rey of the original trilogy.
Yes.
Like, I would love to know like how incredible of a Jedi she could have been if she were like trained from the beginning. Like,
I want nothing more, Casey. I want nothing more.
I mean, you might get that in The Last Jedi. Yeah.
Spoilers, folks.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. Fast forward like 2 minutes if you don't want to be spoiled on like Last Jedi fan theories or Rise of Skywalker fan theory. So like 2 minutes from now. So like if the rumor is true that like we get the flashback scene and we see Luke like training Leia, like a younger Leia in the ways of like the Force, like I would love to just, if we could just, like, see the potential, at least, of what she could have been
if
she had become a Jedi.
How they're going to film that. Like, how they're going to go about doing that.
I mean, like, J.J. Abrams just said he wasn't going to use, like, digital effects to do, like, more Carrie Fisher stuff. He never said he was going to, like, de-age another actress. And do, like, a Leia flashback. Because, like, I mean, obviously, like, it wasn't Peter Cushing playing, like, Grand Moff Tarkin in Rogue One. It wasn't Carrie Fisher playing young. So, like, I wonder
if they use her daughter.
I would imagine that they would use the same actress they used for Rogue One.
That's true. I forgot about that.
Yeah. I can't imagine asking her daughter to do that, like...
Well, I do know they did say, again, spoilers, but we already told you about that. I did see an article, I think it was actually Carrie Fisher's brother who did it, who said that her daughter has a much bigger role in The Rise of Skywalker. She has more, like, screen time, and I remember they said they specifically somehow incorporated her into a couple of the scenes, supposedly, that they had left over from The Force Awakens.
Yeah, I can see that, because she even had, like, she was a background character in The Force Awakens. She had, I thought, a much bigger role in The Last Jedi. Right. And she's just, like, I mean, she's just, like, really starting to break out. She was, you know, she was, like, one of the top billed stars for, like, the last couple seasons of American Horror Story. And she's incredible in that series. So, like, I can definitely see it. Like, I think that, like, not even just, like, because she's Carrie Fisher's daughter. I think, like, Billie Lourd is just ready to, like...
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, break out, like, on her own merit.
But I think the, you know, purposely trying to put her in some of those scenes is only happening because she's Carrie Fisher's daughter.
That, I can see that. Yeah, I understand what you mean. I have to keep reminding myself that her character is not Leia's daughter. Like, I keep wanting to, like, think... I keep thinking that, like, she's Leia's kid. Like, no, she's not. She's a completely separate character.
She knows who Leia is, but that's probably about it.
Yeah. I'm reading the Resistance Reborn book now, and Leia is very disappointed in her for the role that she played in Poe's mutiny on the Raddus.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's actually really entertaining.
That's an incredible book, by the way. That book is incredible. I've been trying to, like, pace myself, and I am failing because I'm 50% through it now. I started reading it last week. Such a great book. Such a great book. I think that, like, of all of the new canon books I've read, like, I think this is the one that can have, like, the most consequence for, like, the movie coming up. Like, I think that
you recommend reading before Rise of Skywalker?
If you have time to do it, yeah. Because this, if you want to know what happens, like, between, like, you know, okay, you know, like, sometimes you read a Star Wars book and you're like, this is great, but this is not going to have, like, any consequence for the movie whatsoever.
Yes.
Like, this book is not like that. Like, this book is telling you exactly, like, how the Resistance, like, went from, like, a dozen or so people on the Falcon to where they are in the Rise of Skywalker. And it would not surprise me if, like, some of the characters introduced in this book end up in the movie. Like, I would be, at this point, like, reading this book, I would be shocked if, like, Wedge Antilles is not in the Rise of Skywalker.
Okay.
And then there's, like, a couple. Wait,
didn't he die in The Last Jedi, though?
No, he wasn't in The Last Jedi. Are you thinking of Ackbar?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. No, no, he, like, so the story, like, he was just, like, he kind of, like, retired off to, like, a planet, and he's been farming. He married a woman named Nora Wexley, who, if you ever read, like, the Aftermath trilogy by Chuck Wendig, she was a pilot. I'm pretty sure she was a pilot during, like, the Battle of Endor, and then, like, the Battle of Jakku. And then she's the mother of a character named Snat Wexley, who is played by Greg Grunberg in The Force Awakens. I don't know if you know who that is.
It sounds familiar.
He's like, I don't want to. Okay, he's kind of like the portly, like, X-Wing pilot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's the new Porkins.
But, that's incredible. No. You have to have one for each trilogy, though.
Yeah. So, like,
who would have been in The Force Awakens? I mean, the prequel trilogy.
Well,
that's the question.
Dexter.
Oh, yes.
Maybe. Okay, there's my new headcanon. Dexter was, like, an X-Wing pilot before he, like, became a diner owner.
Dax.
But, yeah, so, like, I can see, like, and, like, so, like, his wife, like, Nora, I can see her, like, being in the movie. And then there's, like, a couple, like, there's one character who was in Bloodline, who makes a reappearance in this book, which I can see him, like, the way that, like, things are going right now, like I said, I'm only halfway through it, but I can kind of see him playing an important role in ending up in, you okay? You have a shocked look on your face.
I was just, well, Disney Plus launches tomorrow.
Yes.
And one of the things I was just popped in my mind as we were discussing things is I wondered if I'd be able to watch any of it offline while I'm flying.
Can you download?
So I was Googling it, and according to CNET, Disney Plus will let you download unlimited titles for offline viewing so long as you're subscribed to the service.
Oh, so you can probably, like, both episodes of The Mandalorian would probably take up your flight.
Yeah, or one of the movies.
Or one of the movies.
Because I'm probably going to watch The Mandalorian all day tomorrow.
I'll watch, like, an episode tomorrow night, probably. I say I'm going to watch The Mandalorian, but then, like, a part of me thinks that, like, I'm just going to, like, binge watch The Clone Wars before I do anything else.
That's going to happen.
I'm going to at least watch, like, the Mortis arc, like, right away, because I miss the hell out of the Mortis arc.
There's so much that I can't wait to just watch.
All right. So, do you want to talk about your trip, speaking of being in Florida?
Yes. Okay. So, incredible.
I have so many questions. Go ahead.
So that there's nothing quite like when you, so like the way it opens is like, if you walk through Disney's Hollywood Studios, like you get to the point where you cut through the main drag where they have, you know, their big theater and the lake and all that kind of stuff. And as you're walking, you come to this, it almost looks like a big bunker door, like arch kind of.
Okay.
And it's just all stone and, like, concrete looking. And you walk through it and you're basically walking through what looks like a rock, carved out rock caves. And
is that, if you can see it, is that picture that you sent me?
No.
Okay.
that is actually the, so like once you're inside of it, it opens up and there's essentially a marketplace. That what I sent you is like looking at the entrance to the marketplace.
Okay.
Like once you're already in there, that's like the entryway to the market. The giant ATT that mm-hmm. I sent you, the walker, that is actually not in Galaxy's Edge.
Oh, is that like in the actual Disney port?
Yes, because so presently they only have two Star Wars rides open. They have Star Tours, which is not in Galaxy's Edge. That's where the giant walker was, which is pretty cool. You're basically getting in a ship and you sit down and your pilot is C-3PO, who inadvertently accidentally gets stuck piloting the ship. And the entire port of Star Tours is like taking you to like on a vacation, essentially. Like okay. That's what it's like when you're walking through, it makes it look like you're going to an airport. You're going to get on this ship and it's going to take you to your destination. Instead, you know, you encounter Kylo Ren who tries to force hold the ship and you escape and you're flying through all these different planets and going through hyperspace and everything. And you encounter at one point Finn, like you encounter Poe at one point. So that was really cool. But the Millennium Falcon ride.
The little clip you texted me just looked insane.
So it's incredible. So my dad, bless his soul, the past two times when The Force Awakens and The Last of Jedi have come out, I've come down right around after, down to visit them after they've been released. And me and my dad have gone to see both of them. And we were sitting there on the Millennium Falcon ride before it even starts. And he's like, oh, I wonder what this is going to be like. So we sit in, you buckle in, and next thing you know, you're in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon. And you're about to go try to steal some coaxium.
And you were the engineer, right?
Me and my dad were engineers. So it holds six people per ride. You have two pilots who sit up front and have, you know, pilot the ship. Then you have two gunners. And then the two engineers. And me and my dad got the engineer job. So in addition to sitting in your seats behind the pilots, the entire side of the cockpit is covered in buttons and electronical things and like screens that show you what your, you know, the damage to your system is, like all that kind of stuff. Like your shields are at 60%, things like that. And as things happen, your buttons start to flash and you're told you have to push those buttons. And the funny thing about the ride is it actually scores you with how successful you are.
Oh, all right. Nice.
So you're stealing coaxium and for Hondo. And you're doing this. And if you, you know, fail to repair your shields or if your gunner sucks at hitting the train, like, you're not going to get the coaxium or you're going to have so much damage to your ship that any profit you made is gone. So that was really cool. But we left the ride, I remember my dad getting out. And even today he mentioned that he just couldn't get over how realistic it felt. He was like, you sit down and you know it's not real, but as soon as it starts, you really feel like you're in the middle, you're really in the Millennium Falcon. You're really going and doing this. Like they did. It was a phenomenal job.
Now, was this like the Millennium Falcon that you get into and ride? Was it like the same Millennium Falcon that like Rey was like walking around when you showed me that picture? Like, is that the one that you like? So
the way it's set up is so they have the Millennium Falcon sitting outside. Right. That had a ramp and Rey at one point walked over, entered it, like it's all like fenced in off basically. But mind you, the detail on the Millennium Falcon itself is incredible, like absolutely incredible. Like there's scorch marks, there's damage, every wire, cable, vent, anything you can imagine they put on it. And it had the landing ramp down, and she was able to like walk up on it, and she walked back down, and she like came over to where we were standing in line and goes, and you know, props to them because they got an actress, so to speak, who has a bit of a British accent. So it sounded a lot like Daisy Ridley, which was even creepier. But she walks over and she was like, asked if we saw any stormtroopers around. And I just kind of stood there. I was like, shit. Like, I couldn't speak. So I just held up my fingers and I was like, there was two. And then she goes, huh. She's like, well, keep an eye. Sometimes they try to plant trackers on the Falcon to monitor what we're doing. And she walked away. But it's not, the one that they have outside isn't the one that the ride is. Once you go inside, they tunnel you around through like a mechanic shop, essentially.
Okay.
So like you walk in, and I don't know if I sent you the pictures. I will do it real quick. But you walk in and there is like an engine that's being repaired. And there's like audio that's playing through the speakers talking about the repair and like the run that you're about to go do and like all that kind of stuff. So you walk in and it looks like it's a mechanic shop. And then you walk in and it actually puts you, like, once you finally make it through, you enter this big room where an animatronic Hondo stands and talks to you, and he explains what you're about to do. And then they shuttle you through the building, and you end up in the main, like, open area of the Millennium Falcon, like, where the table is that Chewie plays his weird chess game. So, like, it sets you up in that. And the funny thing is that you know it's after The Last Jedi because there's a porg nest in it, which I thought was really cool. So there was a porg nest in there.
That's awesome.
And then again, they had stuff in there, like blasters, and they had the helmet that Luke wore on the Falcon when he was being trained the first time with the lightsaber.
Okay, yeah.
So that was on there, the little ball that he used that, like, shot the little lasers at him. But once you're walking to the cockpit, I sent you a video of what it looks like, because they literally made it look exactly like the inside of the Falcon.
Those are incredible.
It just, everything was so, so detailed and so accurate and specific. Like, my mom, who knows nothing about Star Wars, she was talking to one of her friends today and was like, they did such a good job that you really do feel like you are in a galaxy far, far away. Like, down to the music that's playing, the smells, like, the lack of benches. Like, everything is made to feel like you are really there, not at an amusement park. That you are really there at the Black Spire Outpost in the Star Wars universe. And it was incredible.
That's awesome. So, like, the people that are talking to you, like the workers there, like, are they talking to you like in character the whole time?
Yeah. So we went into Doc Ondar's antiquities shop, which I have a whole bunch of pictures of that to send to you.
Okay. Did you ask them? Did you remember to ask them if they had the baby Sarlacc?
I did not.
Ah, man, come on.
But I did see it.
Oh, you did. Okay, so it was there.
It was there.
Now, did the people, like, when you, like, would talk to people, did they greet you by saying Bright Suns?
Some of them did. Some of them did.
Okay.
A lot of, so, like, when I bought my Resistance blanket and everything, the girl who was working at the Resistance outpost, she was like, thank you for joining the Resistance. And, like, stuff like that. And if you bought something from the First Order outpost, I forget specifically what they said, but they said something that had to relate with, like, you joining the First Order. The stormtroopers and stuff that you would see walking around, you can talk to them. They really don't talk to you. They stay in character the entire time and just continue to, like, sort of walk past you, telling you that they're on patrol.
Right.
that they can't stop, and that if you try to like stop them, they'll tell you that they tell you they'll detain you. Same with Kylo Ren. He walks through and he's very mean and aggressive. And he's usually accompanied by two stormtroopers. And I remember my mom asking me, she was like, are they allowed to touch you? And I was like, why? And she's like, because they just like shouldered past me. I was like, I guess.
I mean, they can't like, I'm sure they're not going to hit you, but like.
Yeah, like they like walked right past her kind of, I guess, like in a way, like you're in my way, move.
Right.
Way. And so that was really cool. They are not, I did try to ask two stormtroopers later that I saw if I could get a picture with them, and they told me no. And I went and did a little bit of research. Apparently that's actually not uncommon. So like when they have the characters out walking about and stuff, they don't do photos, which makes sense. I mean, otherwise you would have lines of people waiting every right. 5 seconds. And the whole purpose of that is you see the characters doing things that they would actually do.
Right.
So like, in addition to Rey, you know, inspecting the Millennium Falcon for trackers and seeing if stormtroopers had been there, you also saw her at one point go over to an X-wing that they had in the park and making sure it was fueled and things like that. And another time, I think towards the end when we were leaving, Chewie was there, and he was putting fuel on the X-wing and everything like that, and it was really cool. I saw when Rey was leaving the X-wing, a little girl was dressed like Rey, and ran up to her, and you know, as Rey was walking away, she was asking the little girl like, oh, are you from Jakku, like things like that and stuff. Like, it was cute, like, but it wasn't stop and hey, let's take a picture. It was very much stay in character, I have things I need to go do,
right,
type of thing, which I didn't have a problem with. Really the only characters that I saw were the stormtroopers, Chewie, Rey, and Kylo Ren. I didn't see anybody else.
So you didn't get a chance to talk to, like, Vi Marati?
I saw her from a distance, but I did not get to talk to her, no.
Okay.
Which was really cool. When you, when I was in there buying the holocrons, they have someone there, like, giving you a demonstration and explaining you to what a holocron is.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you had one of the red kyber crystals, and I asked her, I was like, oh, do you guys have the red kyber crystals in? And she literally goes, she's like, no, she's like, unfortunately Doc is having a really hard time getting those in right now. We think the First Order are hiding them. So like, it's that kind of stuff. Like, even right. It's like, hey, do you have this in stock? It's like, they don't just be like, no, we're out, or no, we don't have any. Like, they have a specific reason that fits like the story and the universe as to why there's not there.
Did they have like a Doc Ondar like character there?
Yes.
How was that? Like, was it like an actual person playing Doc Ondar, or was it just kind of was he above like the shop, like looking down?
Yeah. So he was kind of, they have, so like where they have, so like you walk in and it's a big circular room, and like the walls, floor to ceiling, are just lined with things. And then you have this section where they have like a glass case almost, where it has a bunch of legendary lightsabers that you can buy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was this close to convincing my parents to buy me one.
How much were the legendary lightsabers?
$129 for the hilt.
For the hilt.
Another $50 for the blade.
That's slightly more than like what you would pay for a Black Series one. Like, a Black Series lightsabers are like typically around $150.
Yeah. So
which like legendary lightsabers did they have?
They had like literally almost all of them. Trying to think. I tried to get a picture of most of them. Unfortunately, I was only able to get like a shot of five. And the ones that I got a picture of was like, they had a Temple Guard lightsaber.
Then like they the double bladed ones?
No, this was not a double bladed one.
Okay.
I'm going to send you the picture real quick.
Okay. See.
talking about.
Basically, when I go there, like, save my money because I have no self-control when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah, save your money because there was a lot of shit that I wanted to buy, but, like, that was just so expensive that I couldn't. So, from left to right, you have the Temple Guard, then you had Obi-Wan's, and then you have Rey's, literally Rey's lightsaber.
Okay, and then is that Sidious's after that?
No, that's Mace Windu.
Okay, and then that's Vader's after that, right?
Yep.
Those are nice. Those are beautiful.
Yeah, those were the only ones that I was able to get a picture of because people were standing, like, in front of the other ones and I couldn't get a good enough shot. But here we go. Sorry, I'm trying to find something real quick. Oh, so one of the things that they had that I really kind of wanted to get, but I didn't, they have a data storage unit that looks exactly like the data storage units from the original trilogy, but it's a USB.
Nice.
So I thought that was really cool.
Like, so it was like the card that, like, she uses to store the Death Star plans. That's awesome. How much were those?
I think that was like $30.
Wow.
Yeah.
Worth
it. Yeah, sorry, $35.
Worth it.
They had a bunch of mini busts of various characters. So, like, they had, like, Yoda, Mace. They had a bust of Luke that costed $130, and it was, like, full size. They have the bust of a Jedi Temple guard's mask, like, just the mask. That was, like, $130.
Did you see the Lord Momin mask? I think that was in, I can't remember if that was in Doc Ondor's or if that was in, like, Savi's workshop.
I don't remember seeing it. I unfortunately didn't get to see Savi's workshop at all, or the cantina. If you ever go, I suggest, and you know when you're going specifically, if you want to go into the cantina, make your reservations when you book the trip.
Okay.
Because they don't do walk-ins. And even trying to make a reservation, like, that morning for, like, dinner or for, it was, you couldn't.
Okay.
So, like, if you know when you're going, make your reservation if you want to eat at the cantina.
Okay.
And you only have 45 minutes while you're in there.
Can you eat in 45 minutes?
I think so.
I mean, will they serve you? Like, they'll serve you?
Yeah. But you're only, like, they try to get you in and out in 45 minutes.
Okay.
They had one section.
I can't remember who owns the cantina in the book.
Olga?
Yes, that's right. Who is a, like, gangster.
Yeah. I thought it was really cool. So they had an entire section. I'm going to send you the picture of it real quick. That was dedicated to Padme and Leia, which was really cool to see. So, like, in that you had, like, two really awesome stained glass pictures of both Leia all decked out in her, like, what she wore when she was Queen of Naboo. And then you have Leia all decked out in what she wore for the medal ceremony at the end of episode 4. And they're big too. Like, they're not small stained glass portraits.
Oh, that's
cool. They were relatively large, but, like, they had.
And those were for sale?
Yeah, you could buy those. They had Leia's dress for sale. They had a wig for Leia for sale. They had the headdress that Padme wears in episode 2 when they're traveling back to Naboo, her and Anakin. They have that.
Holy shit, that Leia necklace from A New Hope is $2,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Stuff's not cheap. So then they had the Jedi holocrons. And those were 50 each. They had the Sith and the Jedi, which I showed you those because They're awesome.
Yeah.
And they have.
I cannot wait to like get those.
Yeah, but I surprisingly have not opened the Kyber crystals yet to like listen to them. I've been holding off. They unfortunately, when I was there, they did not have the red Kyber crystals in stock at the time. If you ask the staff, you know, according to them, Doc Ondor is out trying to get them, that he thinks the First Order are hiding them all. So, there's no red Kyber crystals, but they did have white, yellow, green, blue, purple. So, like, that was pretty cool. But then on top of that, they had actually, like, really big, full-size Kyber crystals, like, where it's an actual, like, gemstone. And it has, like, comes in a really cool wooden case, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if you touch or hold the crystal, it activates the light effect. And they had, green ones of those, and I believe red ones. I don't think they had blue. But, like, those were really cool, and I thought about getting one of those. Then they have, like, your normal, they had Jedi food capsules, you could get Jedi. There was like one spot at the, so in Doc Ondor's Antiquities, you could get Jedi robes and stuff like that. But in the marketplace, they actually had one section where it was like fully nothing but legit Jedi costumes and Sith costumes, like robes. They had Rey's complete outfit from episode 7 there. No, episode 8, sorry. Episode 8 when she's training with Luke. Like, and all of it's just so spot on to what you would see in the movies.
So, like, if I want to get the Jedi costume that I've been wanting for a long time, like, wait until I go to the Galaxy's Edge.
Yes. But also be prepared and know this, that for the Jedi youth cloak, again, and this is the cloak for kids, is $100.
Good.
For just for a kid. So... keep this in mind. They even sell the Padawan hair braids in various hair colors. They sold little stones that had Sith and Jedi symbols carved onto them with various like phrases like providing wisdom. And there was, like, they had a bunch of paintings and stuff like that you could buy, like, really incredible paintings just done, like, by various people. And those were all, like, massive and, like, $400.
It kind of sucks that, like, they don't tell you, like, what crystal you're buying, though.
Yeah, that definitely sucked. Oh, you could buy Yoda's cane.
Nice.
You could also buy Emperor Palpatine's cane.
So basically, if it's Star Wars related, chances are you can buy it here.
You can literally buy anything. Oh, an adult Jedi cloak, Casey. I just looked up the prices. Is $124.99.
Oh my god! And that's just the cloak. That doesn't even count the rest of the outfit.
Yeah, and then, like, you can get, like, you can get the cheap plastic retractable lightsabers there. They also make ones that are specifically, like, to what the Padawans would use before they actually get their own lightsaber. Like, literally anything you can think of, like, you can get there. Anything. Like, if you want a stone carving of Jabba the Hutt, you can get that for $160. if you want a General Grievous mask, it was like $325. Like, some of the stuff was just insanely priced, but it's worth it because of how freaking awesome they look. Like, you could get an entire Resistance fighter pilot suit, like what Luke wears when he's flying the X-Wing. You can get the entire suit. You can get the helmet that you can wear. you can get an Empire jumpsuit and the helmets that they wear. You can get, if you're an officer in the First Order, you can get the cap that they wear and the jackets. And like,
if I ever hit like the Powerball, I'll be like the first person to show up the Galaxy's Edge with a U-Haul.
Yes. Like, it's, everything is just so detailed, and like, it's just, everything was so freaking awesome. Like, you can get an Imperial officer rank badge, and it tells you what order to put them in to signify what rank you want it to signify.
Right.
Like, it honestly was like the coolest place ever. There's just so much stuff.
Awesome. Did you try the blue milk? Did you get to try
blue milk? No, because the line for the blue milk was ridiculous.
Really?
Absolutely ridiculous.
Did you eat anything there?
No.
No? Did you get like one of the little Coke bottles that came in like a thermal detonator bottle?
I did not. Only because they wanted $6.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So I passed on that for
and
that reason.
And I guess, like, you can't take them on a plane.
You can't take them on a plane. So, like, I would drink it and then throw it away.
Like, I think, well, okay, I'm not going to have that problem because I'm pretty sure when I go to Galaxy's Edge, I'm going to drive down.
Smart. Smart. Because which I recommend, simply for the fact that the reason I didn't go through with getting one of the lightsabers is I just was really worried about flying back with it.
Yeah.
Because it's so long that like it wouldn't fit very well in an overhead compartment, and I
would. I'm not gonna lie, I'm nervous as hell about you flying back with my holocrons.
Oh, we're good. Don't worry about those.
Okay.
We are A-okay.
Okay.
I have stuff to. I'm gonna wrap all of the holocrons in my blanket and put them in the duffel bag.
Nice.
So they will be safe.
Oh man, I'm so excited.
But like, you could even get the freaking necklace that. The Jabbar necklace that Anakin carved for Padme.
Do I want to know how much that is?
$20.
Oh, that's not bad.
No. So, like, some of it's reasonably priced, and some of it is not reasonably priced. But it's Star Wars, and they can do that.
Right.
So, like, can't really fault them.
So, is it safe to say you would go again?
Oh, I already told my parents. Well, I didn't tell them. My mom already said that she assumes I'd be asking to go again because when we went I think it's the Rise of...
The Resistance.
Yeah, the Rise of the Resistance ride had not opened yet.
Right.
And supposedly opens next month, but everything that I kind of heard while I was there makes that seem a little questionable.
Yeah.
So... think it would be okay. Oh, for a record, Emperor Palpatine's cloak is $250.
That's not, I mean, that's a lot of money, but that's cheaper than I would have expected.
His cane is $150.
Can you buy, like, the red robes he wore when he declared the Galactic Empire in front of the Senate?
I did not see those.
Because I would 100% buy those.
It's predominantly just his, like, the all-black robes that we see him wear.
Now, can you buy, like, for the Jedi, like outfits, can you buy any that are, like, specific to a character? Like, can I get, like, Anakin's, like, black robe and, like, his leather, like...
So, when I... So, the majority of, like, the Jedi robes that were sold, that I saw was sold over at the market.
Okay.
And they had like Rey's like exact like tunic and everything that she wore in The Last Jedi.
The gray one, not the tan one.
Yes, the gray one. And then they also had what looked like Obi-Wan's Jedi. I did not see Anakin's. Could have missed it, but I didn't see his. I predominantly saw like the ones that you saw Obi-Wan wear and Qui-Gon, like, so the tan.
Yeah. I would either buy the Obi-Wan one, or I would buy, like, the all-black one that, like, Luke wears in Return of the Jedi if they had that.
Yeah.
Because I guess I just want to walk around looking like a priest. I don't know. I just...
Yes, like... They had a lot. So...
I am itching to go down there so bad.
Like, it... Honestly, Casey, it was incredible. Incredible. So, like, yeah, like, the big thing that they had was Rey's Act 2 outfit. Like, all of that. They had the arm wraps, the vest, the belt that she wore. I didn't see it where, but, like, you could even buy her staff.
How much was that?
I didn't see where it was. Like, I never came across it myself, but people were walking around with it. So I would assume that they bought it there, because I don't think Disney would just let you bring that in. Like, adults. Yeah, for the most part, the Jedi tunics and whatnot were all of the light colored. But I don't know. It honestly was just incredible, and it was everything I could have imagined.
I'm so happy you got to go. That's incredible.
You need to go at some point, Casey.
I will. One of these days I will make it down there.
And I feel like your daughter would probably love it.
I don't know if I'm going to take her. Well, no, like, I'm sure I'll take her one day, but Cam was like, just go. She's like, just save your money and just go, even if you go with... She's like, I don't really want to go. She's like, go by yourself. Like, enjoy yourself. I'm like,
I'll tell you, Casey.
Huh?
We'll plan it. We'll go together.
Okay.
And we could just crash my parents.
Nice. How close do they live?
They live about 2.5 hours.
Okay.
So it wasn't bad. We left at like 6:30 in the morning, got up there around like 8.
Where do they live?
They live Gulfside in like the Port Charlotte area.
Okay.
So
okay,
you're basically just driving inland.
So like, okay, so if you're going down there and you're crashing like at someone's house, like how much are like the tickets to get in?
They were, I want to say like 130.
Okay.
Roughly.
So like if you go there, like you're not spending like thousands and thousands to like go there for a day and everything.
Okay. No.
Nice.
No, especially if you're not getting like a hotel or anything.
That makes it like way more doable.
Yeah. Yeah, like if you're not like staying in my parents' house and like just driving up and then like driving home that night, like, wasn't bad.
Okay.
And one of the things is like the park's open till 9, but literally the only thing I gave two shits about was Galaxy's Edge. So like we briefly walked through the entire park, and I remember my mom as we were leaving was like, "Oh, we didn't spend any time in the Toy Story Land." I was like, sorry, like, I didn't care. Like, I wanted to spend all my time in Galaxy's Edge.
But could you, okay, so can you spend, like, one day there and see it all? Or is it, like, not, is it too big, or?
No, you could easily spend one day and see it all. Okay. We didn't even stay until park closed. I think we left around, like, 5:30.
Okay.
Just because we had really done everything we could in Galaxy's Edge, minus the Droid Depot, which I did get to go and see inside of, which was really cool.
Is that where R2 was that you sent me the picture of?
He was chilling out there. So like I did get to see that. Did not see Savvy's workshop at all. And I didn't get to go in the cantina, but both of those were things like you need to make reservations for well in advance.
Okay.
So, like, I didn't get to do those two things, but, like, I saw and walked around everything else, like, waited 2.5 hours in the Millennium Falcon rides line. But, yeah, I think one day is more than enough, especially if you're solely focused on Galaxy's Edge.
I just want to, like, go for a day and make it feel like I'm in Star Wars. Like,
and that's exactly what it feels like. Exactly what it feels like.
I saw a tweet. I just found it again. It was from, like, last month. You know Tom Morello, the guitar player from Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah.
Like, so he took his, he went to Galaxy's Edge and like he got into the cantina and like the bartender like leaned over to him and gave him like a Rebel Legion. Like, I don't know if it's like a coin or like a medal or something. It might just be a coaster. I'm not sure. But like he gave it to him, like leaned into him and whispered. And it's like, it's not often we get a Resistance General in here. Thanks for your service.
Like, oh, wow. That's awesome.
Like, okay, I need to plan this. I need to save my money and plan for this.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
All right. Anything else for this episode?
I don't think so.
All right. Everyone, thank you for listening. You can follow me at Darth Hockey. You can follow the podcast at Sith's Giggles Pod. Check us out on Google Play and Spreaker.com and iTunes. Krista, where can people find you?
I'm also on Twitter at Critter, K-R-I, 3 T's, E, 3 R's. And if you want to see more pictures from my trip of to Galaxy's Edge, of all of the random crap that was so awesomely detailed there, let us know on Twitter, and I will be sure to post them.
All right. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening, and may the spires keep you.